I'm so glad you're here tonight. Did you experience the Lord? Did you? Don't come to church unless you come expecting to experience your teacher. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 6. The Lord willing, we will proceed. Did you experience God tonight? Tell me. Did you? I want that for you so bad. Do you know that I pray every day that God will give you that capacity to experience Him? I want that for you so bad. But you have to be humble, you know. You get lifted up in pride, and the only thing you experience is self. That's pretty rotten. Amen. Are you at Matthew 6 yet? Can you imagine what it must have been like to hear the words of the Lord from His very own lips, to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to see how He lived, to see how different He was than we are. What a lesson. What a lesson. 3.5 years with Him, seeing what He was really like, kind of gave His disciples something to shoot for the rest of their lives. My heart is aching tonight. How often I stand up here and I speak to you, and my heart is filled with aching, an aching longing for you to open your hearts and receive every word that I say. Because you know, these words are from Him, and they are love words, wanting to give you so much more than you've ever had before. The aching I feel is not my own. It is His. Did you know that He ached? That He aches? That you would let Him in? He says, I stand at the door and I knock. You know, what a beautiful message for a sinner, but the truth is, He was standing at the door of the church. I stand at the door and I knock. And when you see the picture, He looks so peaceful, almost content. The anguish that is in His heart is not reflected on His face at all. He's standing at a closed door knocking, wanting entrance into the heart of His church. I bet you've never had anyone miss you like the Lord does when He doesn't have that fellowship. Right? Are you guys here tonight? Are you sure? So there He stands. There He sits, actually. And He continues His discourse, instructing His people. I shared this with you once before when I was standing up on the Mount of Beatitudes, looking down. You know, because you stand at the top of the mountain and you look down, And at the bottom of the mountain is Galilee. So I'm standing at the top of the mountain with a whole group of people that I took with me. And I look down the mountain as I am proclaiming Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because that's what the Lord told me to do. And as I am proclaiming Matthew 5, my eyes are opened and I see all up and down the side of this mountain are groups of people. And I'm thinking, I'm in a vision. I'm in a vision. I'm having a vision. But it didn't feel like a vision. It felt like it was like they were there. Groups of people dressed in the garb that they wore back in those days. I am proclaiming his word when suddenly I hear his voice. And there he is. And he's speaking to his people. Knows he has but a short time to give all that he's been given to give. And then he will be taken. And so many of those sitting along the mountain will know certain destruction because they could not hear. They could not understand that the Lord, the Son of God, was in their midst. And I felt the pain in his heart. He didn't talk with pain. You never would have known. He was talking as a man filled with grace. But his heart was filled with pain as he knew the future of those who, though they heard, could not hear. And though they saw, could not see. I think I probably wasn't even through chapter 5. And by this time, I'd experienced and seen so much. I was crying so hard, I couldn't even continue. So I had to ask one of the other ministers with me to finish it. And I just wept so hard. We must not take lightly the words of the Lord, ever. For they are our life. They are our food. The Bible says, the word is no trifle thing to you. It is your life. Pray therefore like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven, left and remitted and let go of the debts, and have given up resentment against our debtors. And lead, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I feel so strong to interject something here. I don't know what heart God is trying to deal with in this place tonight. But he's trying to talk to someone who thinks they know, but they don't know. They think they love the word, but their love for the word is superficial because they won't live it. I saw in a vision. I had this Bible in my hand, And I took it into a repair shop. You know, ministers go through lots of Bibles because we use them so much. So I went into a shop that would repair the binding of my Bible. When the Bible was handed back to me, I kind of thumbed through it, stopping here and there. And I said, "Oh my Lord, they've taken a fourth of my Bible out of here. Every scripture that spoke of his lordship was removed. Every passage that spoke of heaven, gone. Every passage that spoke of hell, gone. Every passage that spoke of the Trinity, gone. Every passage that spoke of the Godhood of the Father, gone. Every passage that spoke of the Holy Spirit, gone." It wasn't even the same Bible. In the vision, I went running back into the shop and I said, "What have you done to my Bible? Where are the scriptures about his lordship, about his deity? What have you done to my Bible?" And they said, "You get out of here. What you have in your hand, every man who has to have a Bible will have in their hand. Get out of here." I knew they weren't going to give my Bible back to me. So I left. I got in my car. And the vision Hong was with me. And we were driving down the street. And I saw a church that used to be on the side of the street had been burned down. We drove a little bit further. A Bible bookstore burned down. It is no trifle thing. It is life. And the devil wants to take it out of your heart and out of your hands until he can destroy your faith. Do you have your Bible with you tonight? It needs to be in your hands. Oh, the love of God. The love of God for his people. The day is going to come, and it's close at hand. You're going to wish for the days that this could be in your hand. Don't go anywhere without his word beside you and in your heart. You love Jesus. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What I want to talk to you about tonight, if we can move along, is more on this coming reality. Oh, the life of the kingdom that God is bringing into the earth for those who are chasing the life of Christ, the kingdom of God. There is an awakening coming to the kingdom such as you have never known before. The greatness and the might of God, the glory, the expectation of the Father fulfilled in this your hour. The kings of the earth, the apostles of heaven, the prophets of God, the priesthood of the Lord. It's coming, and it's coming in such great glory such great grandeur. It will shake everything in the earth that can be shaken. It will shake everything in you that can be shaken. That which remains will remain in God. So I want to talk to you tonight. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A couple of nights ago, well, that was last weekend, I talked to you about a wonderful, wonderful reality. This wonderful thing God is about to do. There are those he has been preparing for several decades. Sorry. When he does that, it just absolutely stops me. There are those that he's been preparing for decades. And they are those that will break through to this glorious, glorious reality. Like breaking through a bubble to release it upon those who are willing and those who are waiting. I've shared different aspects of this with you, those of you who have been attending for, you know, the last year. I've shared different aspects of this with you over time to help prepare you, to help you understand, so that you can have an idea of what it means to really walk with God. But tonight, I'm going to talk to you about something more. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 11. He's standing before me. It's been an incredible visitation wherein he's allowed me to experience many things, giving me much understanding. I hope I can bring this message to you tonight. He just keeps overtaking me, so strong. And he said to me, Nita, when I walked the earth, many times in many places, I would tell my people. Now he quoted it out of the King James. I've got the Amplified, so I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. He said, I would tell them, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, meek, humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp. There's so many words here, it almost undoes. The King James says it so much better. Hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. He said, I would say this so many places. He said, it is true that I was concerned about how Judaism had become a yoke of bondage to my people. But that is not why I made this invitation. I made this invitation because the sinful nature that resides in every man because of a fall prohibits him from his ascent into God. I was inviting everyone who would hear me to make a divine exchange of their nature for mine. At the time that he's talking to me, I am filled with this divine nature, emptied of myself. I was not even cognizant of my own existence. I was so filled with the nature and character of Christ. He had stepped right inside of me, overtaken my mind, overtaken my heart, overtaken my soul. There was no more Nita. It was all Jesus. All I knew was the humility of Christ. Such humility. There was no longer any care for my own well-being. My only care was whether or not I was pleasing Him every moment. You do not know how much pride there is in the human heart until the Lord removes it all. And there I stood, devoid of pride. Can you imagine? I don't know how to even describe how wonderful it is. It's like someone took a 5,000-pound weight off of my spirit, off of my soul. My whole being was at rest, comforted, because Christ was in me, not just in my spirit, but in my soul, where the sinful nature had once resided. No pride, only meekness, only humility. My mind knew only His thoughts. I had no thoughts of my own. My heart felt only His passions. I was enlivened by His passions, controlled, compelled by His passions, none of my own. There was no human love, no human fear, no human need for control, no love of power, no lust for anything of this world. It was gone. What I was filled with was the love Christ has and is, and the love that He had for the Father. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, although I was living on the earth, my soul had been taken up to stand in the midst of the Godhead, before the Father, surrounded by the Spirit, before the Son. I was right there in the middle of them. They were the only thing I knew. No relationship to the things of this world. I was here, but I was there. My heart knew no earthly sorrow, no earthly desire. Only what He desired. I knew only Him. Only Him. How do you tell another human being? I was gone. Everything I'd ever known about myself, it was gone. And I was filled with Him. This is the existence He was speaking of when He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Who did He make this invitation to? Who? Tell me. I can't hear you. You mean not just specially chosen ones? May I speak archaic English? Wherefore art thou then? If it is for you, wherefore art thou? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. One of the reasons people do not draw near to God is because they fear his authority. They fear that they can't live up to him, that they can't please him if they walk too close. So they stay out in the back 40, thinking he's not paying quite as much attention to them, so everything will work out. They fear his authority. And I just love it because Jesus answered that concern when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And what did he say would happen to us? And you will find rest for your soul. You're not, when you walk with him like that, you're not living in the presence of a tyrant, because he has extracted all that offends to make you worthy of standing next to him. It is nothing to be feared, only to be sought. He does have some very strong ideas about being holy and living and walking in the nature and character of Christ. He has some very strong ideas about that. But he is a God of great grace, great enabling power. He wants to enable you to be like him, and to mold and to shape you, to help you love higher than this world. If I could just come and stand in front of each and every one of you and just put my hands inside of your chest and lift your heart up above the cloud so you could experience what it means to let it all go, I would do it. Our souls are heavily laden with pride. Say pride. Our souls are heavily laden with covetousness. Say covetousness. Our souls are heavily laden with the lust for power. Say lust for power. Everyone, even if they belong to Jesus, you are buried beneath the yoke of these three things and everything that they constitute. You may say, but I'm such a sweet person. I work very hard at being a very sweet person. You can ask anyone who knows me. Anyone who challenges me does it unworthily, because I am very nice, very kind, very good. Any of you ever feel those things? The Bible does say that the heart is deceitfully wicked, and in this flesh dwells how much? How much? Please, one more time. Nada. Yeah, nada. Not a good thing. It is true. And if we are not willing to see that, neither can we enter into the light that will set us free. The rich young ruler said to Jesus, "Good teacher?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but the Father." We have to come to a place where we are dissatisfied with our own goodness. And until we can, light is limited. Grace is limited. Help is limited. It's not about being good. It's about dying. Because even the best of us is nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Aren't you glad you came to be reminded that you're not as perfect as you thought you were? But it's okay, because there is a better righteousness, a much better righteousness. Ours at its very best is not acceptable to Him. So why do we strive? Die. Don't strive to make beautiful what needs to die. May I hear you say that? I will not strive to make beautiful what needs to die. Do you mean it? It needs to die. When it does, you are free. I am free. And only then does liberty reign. Satan tries to tell you, wants to convince you, you can't do it. You can't die. You don't need to die. You don't want to die. There's too much to live for out here. That's what he wants you to believe. And when you're corrected, you don't want to be corrected because you're already perfect, you see? That's what he wants you to believe. Because if you can't receive correction, neither can you die. He wants you to believe the lie. Because he wants to keep you entrapped in the deception that he has over you. It takes humility to be corrected by man or God. Great humility. It takes humility and it takes grace. This is why most never make it in to the place he's inviting us to, because they will not be corrected. They cannot bear correction. Not by man and not by God. And look at the loss. Look at the terrible loss. If you can walk in this life with Jesus in you, what is it worth? Come on, speak to me. What is it worth? Is it worth anything? Is it worth everything? If you don't think you can bear it, is it worth spending the time in fasting and prayer for the grace to bear it? Yes. Whatever the cost, it's worth it. Yeah, but you know, when I got saved, I never really thought that I would have to go to the cross. I thought he did that. So that, you know, I could live in a life of liberty, victory, prosperity. Everyone would now love me because I belong to Jesus. I could come to church and sing the happy little songs. Life would just go perfect. All of my woes would just be dismantled. I didn't know he would call me to the cross. And that doesn't sound very fun. It sounds kind of scary. My dear brothers and sisters, it is scary. Take it from one who's been on the path for a long time. But the grace that enables is this. He is high and lifted up. He is glory. He is beauty. He's worth dying for. He's worth putting the axe to the root of the tree. You'll never know beauty until you know the beauty of Christ. You'll never know joy until you are filled with Him. You'll never know what it's like to walk in the love of God until you are in Him. You don't know. People live for knowledge in this life. But this life isn't about knowledge. This life is about knowing Him and the revelation that it takes to know Him is life. It goes beyond knowledge. It recreates you. It strengthens you. It establishes you. It transforms you deeper and deeper, ever, ever deeper into His knowledge, into His image. That's what God wants for you. Are you still with me? Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Let's start with verse 28. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan. Whoa, isn't that awesome? Everything is working together and fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. What is His purpose? What is His purpose? For those whom He foreknew, of whom He was aware and loved beforehand, He also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of His Son, and to share inwardly His likeness, that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. What is His purpose and plan for you? He wants you molded into the image of the Son so that He can be the firstborn of many just like Him. He wants you to inwardly share His likeness. What it means is He wants the sinful nature crucified, your nature wrapped in His nature, so that He's living His life out through you. No more you, but Him. He wants to bring you in to this most supreme position. All of you consumed in all of Him. It isn't your love. It is divine love. It isn't your joy, it's divine joy. It isn't your peace, it's divine peace. It isn't your goodness, it's divine goodness. It isn't your gentleness, it is divine gentleness. All of you has to die and be absorbed into all of Him. This is His plan and His purpose for you. And those whom He thus foreordained, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with Himself. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Are you foreordained? Are you? Raise your hand if you're foreordained. Are you called? Raise your hand if you're called. Are you justified? Raise your hand if you're justified. Are you glorified? No, you're not. But he's called you to his glory. How will you know when you're glorified? You'll know because you'll be made into his image. That's what it means to be glorified. Your soul is clothed in God, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. I think I'll go to the end of the chapter. Is that all right? What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect, when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution, or hunger, or destruction, or peril, or sword, even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things we are more than conquerors, and gain a surpassing victory through him who loves us. For I am persuaded, beyond doubt, am sure, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, not things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is love that calls you. It is the power of love that calls you. It is the force of love that draws you. He has gone ahead and he has made the way clear for you to come in and experience, not just experience, but be all that he's created you to be. It's love from beginning to end. It was love at the cross. It was love at salvation. It was love at baptism. It was love at the giving of information. It was love that is drawing. It is love that will culminate. What are we running from? Go for the gold. Run the marathon. Forget those things which are behind. Stretch forth to that which is ahead. He's calling us upward. He's calling us onward. He wants to give you more than you can contain. He wants to be more for you, in you, through you, than you know how to be. You need him. He needs you to do what he is about to do. You need the word, because without it, you cannot have the strength to go in as deep as you need to go. I'm telling you, darkness is coming, my dear friends. Darkness is coming, and it's coming in a way that you cannot imagine. You're going to want to be enswathed in the light. You're going to want to be filled with the glory. You're going to want to have your heart filled with the faith that is only in Christ. You're going to wish you would have paid the price to press in. Do it now, while it's still so much easier. Do it while he is near. Run while he calls. Love the Word with all of your mind, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and love God with every part of you. And He will bring you in as deep as you could ever want to go. And when the storm assails, you will be safe and a vessel of glory. Nothing on this earth can take you from Jesus, Kevin. Nothing on this earth. Listen to me. Nothing on this earth can cause you to walk in a way that is opposed to the nature and character of Christ. Whenever you yield to your flesh and you choose to hold things in your heart, Jesus is not holding. It is a choice you are making to let go of grace and to hold on to your flesh. You've got it in you to be a mature son of God. All that you need is already in your soul. He put it there because He wants to carry you high. You don't have to submit to the lower nature. You don't have to live down here. Your flesh can trick you, and you may stumble and fall. But remember, love is calling you. Love is enabling you. Grace is there. Don't stay in the lower. Run to the higher. Go higher. Demand much of yourself. It is worth it. He is lovely, altogether lovely. He is wonderful. He is safe. He is God. Turn away from all that distracts and remember the price He paid for your love. God allowed this ministry to do a kindness for someone some months back, to help them in a way that they desperately needed. And when we gave the gift, I also gave a picture of Jesus with a crown of thorns on His head. When I handed it to the person, having given the gift already, they saw the picture and they began to cry. And I said to this person, nothing that has been given to you is coming from the hand of man. It's coming from God. I want you to remember what your cry was and what He went through to answer your prayer. Live nobly for Him. Remember the price that He paid for your soul. Live nobly for Him. You can't live nobly for Him if you're living for yourself. It's not possible. You have to be willing to live for the body. And He will teach you how to love. There's no shame in God. There's no shame. We all fail. We all miss the mark. That's why we have His blood. That's why His life was given, to bring us into the perfection of love. Tell Him, I want to run with you, Jesus.